KUOW podcasts are made possible by listener support. Become a new or renewing member today at KUOW.org.
From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. It's estimated that more than 8% of U.S. households don't use bank accounts. Not only that, but one in five households are considered underbanked. That means they have bank accounts, but they still opt for expensive payday loans or check cashing services and other alternatives. That's according to a recent survey by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. So why aren't people using banks? The Conversation's Cameron Drews asked around Pike Place Market to find out.
I went to several of the major banks here in the Seattle area, and they want $200 or $300 minimum just to open your account. And to maintain your account when you're on a fixed income, that's rather hard to do.
When I had one in the past, I wasn't responsible, and so I screwed it up, you know. And that's the truth, you know. I mean, I screwed it up. I didn't know how to manage my money. And there wasn't really anybody at the bank I could talk to because everybody was really busy.
Well, Bank of America's been good with me, except they, you know, changed policies. You know, they're charging more fees, this and that. I don't agree on that.
How about you? Do you not have a bank account? Do you have trouble getting a bank account? Or maybe you have had in the past. Was it a problem not to be able to use a bank? I'm at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. A lot of us might take it for granted that you'd use a bank as a place to stash your money, but maybe you've lived in places where most people don't have bank accounts. Does that make it more difficult to deal with the economy? Maybe you've decided to not put your money into a bank or a credit union at all. I'm not talking about just switching it from a big bank to a community bank. I'm talking about pulling out of banks altogether. Why'd you do that? It's 800-289-5869. You can write to us, conversation at KUOW.org. That's KUOW.org. On the line, Susan Ford. Susan's a local vendor at Real Change Newspapers. Susan, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today.
Mm-hmm.
I understand you had a bank account with U.S. Bank, but you got rid of it.
I did.
And why was that?
Well, I had a savings and a checking. I have direct deposit, low income. And for like 5 years, they never told me that I had a checking account. And they gave me a check card. And every month I would go and, you know, draw money out. But then I was very careful about checking to see how much was in there. And anyway, I got overdrawn, which I didn't know I had a limit. And they kept letting me take money out of the bank month after month, knowing that I was low income. And they were taking it from an account that never had any money in it to begin with. And then they were charging me $35 a day for being overdrawn.
Wow.
And they were took like 2 months worth of my money, and they didn't really want to talk to me about it.
So they weren't very transparent, and it was really complicated to do so. So how do you handle your money now?
I have a direct deposit on a debit Visa card.
And is it that seems to work better for you, but are there any drawbacks to not having a regular bank account, or is this just working fine for you?
This is working really good for me.
Great. And so how do you pay your bills?
I just use the Visa debit card, and I don't have that many bills. They charge me $3 to use an ATM, but if I take it to a place like Money Tree, they don't charge me to withdraw the money. So I have a little bit more money every month. So
yeah, so you're getting by fine, and you got a little more jingle-jangle in your pocket without a bank.
I sure do.
Hey, Susan, thanks for telling us about it. I appreciate it.
Uh-huh.
206-543-5869. 800-289-5869. We're talking about the unbanked, or people who choose or are having a really hard time getting a bank account. 206-543-5869. Toll free, 800-289-5869. Or write to us, conversation at KUOW.org. We've got Jim on the line, and he's calling us today from Linwood. Jim, are you someone who doesn't have a bank account?
I've never really had one since we moved up here. And it just works better for me to have cash only. I have a little bit of a responsibility problem earlier in my life, and it helps me stay in line with my budget a little bit better.
So seeing that green keeps you more in line with your budget than having it stashed away somewhere at a bank, Jim?
No. I don't really, you know, unfortunately, I'm part of that working poor class that my expenses pretty much eat up my check on a pretty regular basis.
Yeah.
So I just take care of it with money orders. And I've heard a couple of people talk about some of the other banks. I mean, Bank of America is who my payroll company goes through. It's their check, mm-hmm. and they still charge me $6 to cash their check. But to me, that's a small price to pay to stay out of the banking system because of all the issues that happen with the small fees.
Yeah.
And the identity theft issue also, you know.
Yeah.
If they get my cash, they get my cash, and I'll get more.
Are there any drawbacks, Jim, to not having a bank account?
Yeah, I've kind of had a couple of issues, like renting a car. We don't own a car, so I get around on public transportation every now and then when I need to get a car. Usually the only issue is that they just want a bit of a deposit. There's been a couple of places been real nice to work with me. As long as I bring in a couple of utility bills, show them that I am a resident, they're usually not too much of an issue as long as I, you know, just cover the deposit.
So if you get a little more ahead in your financial situation, you think you'll go back to banks, or are you kind of convinced that this works best for you?
This works best for me, and it's been kind of interesting, too, that, like I said, in Nevada, I never had one because, you know, casinos were always willing to cash your checks. But up here, it's been kind of an odd thing that, you know, that people just, you know, when you go to the cashier check at the bank, they're always trying to, you know, sell you this account or that account. And it's almost like you get a little bit of attitude from them at times. There's been a couple of times they've called the manager from the bank, and, you know, it's like, oh, you don't have an account?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, no, cash works for me.
Hey,
and, you know, it's like they reluctantly cash it, even though they're getting that $6 every couple of weeks from me.
You'd think they'd be happy to cash a check for you for $6.
Well, I would think so, because it's just, I don't really see the issue there, but, it's a business, it's a business.
Yeah. Hey, Jim, thanks a lot for telling us about your experience. We appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. Have a good day.
You have a good day, too. We're talking today about people who don't use banks. There are actually quite a few folks who don't use banks for a variety of reasons. Jim was telling us his reasons. Perhaps you are one. 206-543-5869. What are the advantages and what are the disadvantages? Magdaleno Rosavilla is director of the Office of Immigrant and Refugee Affairs. Magdaleno, you were born in the U.S., but I heard that you didn't have a bank account until you were 23. Why was that?
Well, because I was a farm worker, and you just didn't have enough cash on hands to open an account. Now, it was almost prohibitive what they asked in those days, and even today for a lot of people who are traveling. And, you know, I was a migrant worker, and even when I worked just within the state of Colorado, you didn't have enough money, so it was a cash and carry. And so you always carried your money in your pocket, you know, and didn't even have enough to put into under a mattress or in a coffee can or anything. But, you know, now that, you know, that I'm working in this new office and have worked with people who are immigrants and refugees, there's a couple of reasons that people give me, and I've been out talking to folks, Ross, and one is that there's a big fear because of the E-Verify means that electronically they're going to verify your Social Security number, and if a number goes wrong, then you could be turned into Homeland Security, ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement. And so a lot of people don't want to do that. Some don't even have the basic documents that, and I've been in banks when people who were undocumented trying to get a bank account because they want to be safe about their money.
Yeah.
And then there's people who've been in Latin America that seen their banks go under and were never able to recover their money. So, and you know, what's interesting is because I deal with a lot of seniors, on a friendship basis, much older folks who came out of the Depression. And there's some people keep their money at home because they don't trust them.
Well, that's a lot of good reasons to not having money in a bank and not being involved. But are there any drawbacks to folks who keep it that way?
Well, I think there's always a drawback that if people know that you have a little bit of change in your home or you're carrying it on you, that you could be robbed or people could take advantage of you. You could be in a house where your house burns down and you lose it. And then, you know, there's the whole issue of credit and trying to get the transaction. And then when you have to make a payment or you have to do something on some kind of a transaction in an automobile, a lot of the companies take cash, but some require a money order or something. But, you know, there's a huge underground of people who do not use the banking system who are poor, whether they're homeless or regular workers or immigrants and refugees, that people don't know about. I know people that send money and goods around the world and never go through any of Western Union or any of those other systems.
And based on what you just said and the couple calls we already heard, that works fine for them.
It works fine for them. You know, they would like it, but it's but you know, every time if you're on a very limited income, whether you're a senior or whether you're a working class or an immigrant or refugee, $5-$10 that you might get in a bank charge, or as the woman was saying, if she's overdrawn, a $25 fee, that's a lot of money for poor people.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is get binged a couple of times and you want out of the system.
Hey, Magdaleno, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Magdaleno Rose Avila, he directs the Office of Immigrant and Refugee Affairs. Let's go to Jason next. He's in Tukwila. I was kind of surprised to see there are so many people in this country, 8% of households by one estimate, who don't have bank accounts at all. So I'm learning a lot more about why that is, and you can help educate me, 206-543-5869. Let me load the advantages and disadvantages of being outside of the banking system. Jason in Tukwila, thanks for joining us. Why do you not get involved in banks?
Well, one, I grew up in like the central district part of Seattle, and I grew up more or less like making money on my own. And so, you know, I didn't want the banks to be able to keep track of my money. And at the same time, you know, just, you know, the commute of going back and forth to the bank and, you know, just things like that, you know, so.
But having a lot of cash around, that seems to have its own problems.
Well, I haven't had a lot of cash around because I'm low income as well. You know, at times I've had a bank account, I did have a hard time, you know, managing it, a couple overdraft fees at the same time. I once tried to open up a credit card, and they didn't let me know that I had to pay like $300. So I thought when I was, opening up and getting my credit card, I couldn't figure out, like, why every time I try to make a payment on something, I had an overdraft fee, but they didn't let me know I had to open $300, too, at the same time. They didn't let me know when I opened that up. That was at Bank of America.
Yeah.
So just a couple of different reasons like that just made me shy away from, going up to the bank and
right.
reopening an account.
Jason, what's your job? Where does your money come from?
Well, right now I sell a little bit of marijuana on the side, and I make a little bit of music on the side through studio engineering and stuff like that. So that's, you know, kind of how I'm hustling right now. It's hard times. I don't got no job or nothing like that. So.
Well, also there's some issues about if it's money derived from sales of marijuana. I don't think there's a state law, but I think they can confiscate that from you if it's in a bank, can't they?
Well, you can't report that when if you were to put some money in a bank, you can't let them know where you're coming from. You have to, you know, make up some kind of front because they do be in your business. You
right.
know what I'm saying? And so, you know, I wasn't depositing checks and stuff like that. I wouldn't even deposit my money in the bank. I had just opened it up because I thought it was the responsible thing to do.
Sure.
But I wasn't really actually, you know, using it.
Hey.
A couple of times when I did, like I said, I got an overdraft fee for, you know, misunderstanding how I was using the credit card that they had, you know, made me, you know, open up or wanted me to open up. So
yeah, it's not so easy to figure those rules out. Jason, thanks for calling.
Okay, thank you.
Let's go to Tay next, who's calling us today from South Seattle. Tay, do you sort of get away from, have you gotten away from using banks?
You know, I've gotten away not by choice of my own. I was a victim of identity theft about 7 years ago.
Oh, no.
And since then, I haven't been able to open a bank account. I don't know if you're familiar, but opening a bank account, they have a system sort of like if you're going to go rent a home mm-hmm. or even get a mortgage loan from a bank. They have a system. The banking has a system called check system. So I was in check system, and you have to wait like 5 or 7 years to get it.
So
I waited my 5 or 7 years, and they still won't let me open an account, even though I'm out of the check systems, because now my check system's credit score is too low to open an account.
Wow, so you'd like to have a bank account, but they won't let you. So how do you deal with that? Is that cause problems for you to not be able to have a bank account?
Well, you know, I'm like the previous caller. I'm kind of like Jason, man. I can keep my chips at the house, man. And ain't nobody coming to my house and taking nothing, sir.
So it's safe?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely safe.
But it sounds like you might like to have a bank account.
You know, I wouldn't mind because I like the idea of building up my credit.
Yeah.
And maybe getting like a secured loan, putting mm-hmm. the $500 or $1,000 and borrowing on that.
Well, stay tuned then, Tay, because we've got our next guest might have some advice for you on how to do that. Thanks for calling, by the way. Regina Stark is Director of Community and External Affairs for the State Treasurer. She's working in this thing called the Bank on Washington Movement, and they're trying to help Washingtonians get free or low-cost checking and savings accounts. Gina, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. It's been great listening to everybody's stories and their experiences kind of helps rejuvenate why we're doing what we're doing.
Yeah, a couple kind of consistent themes. One is kind of getting crossways with the rules and feeling as though the banks were taking money and fees that they had not expected. And Tay's story about identity theft and unable to kind of clear his name to get into banking, are those the kind of problems that people face?
It is. These are very real problems that people faced. And so the importance of the Bank on Washington and the local Bank on Movement is we partner with different financial institutions who want to help customers who are offering products that have no fees or low fees, you know, so a customer can go in and be really honest about, you know, what they want, what they don't want. And these are financial institutions say, we've got this product for you, like the gentleman with the check cashing. And that's, you know, it's unfortunate, but it is a common occurrence why a lot of people are not banked. And so many of our financial institutions, what they do is they will talk to you on a case-by-case basis, or they'll go ahead and offer you an account. Let's say, you know, you've been off it for 6 months. Sometimes you have to take a financial education class, but they really work with their customers to get them back into the banking system.
So it sounds as though there are some options out there that you might not have to be paying $6 to cash a check if you're able to find these institutions that are trying to make it easier for you?
Yes, that is very true. And there's about 7 different communities. So there's the Seattle, King County, North Sound, Thurston, Cowlitz, Yakima, and Spokane. They all have these local, what we call coalitions, and you can go and look at what each financial institution offers and pick a place that fits you, that fits your needs. So there are really great banks and credit unions out there who want to help their community members.
So, Gina, how can people find out about them? Maybe they don't have a bank account. They kind of wish they did have a bank account. They didn't realize that they might be able to get into a bank account without some of these fees and difficulties. Where do they go? Where do they look?
So one of the first places that they can go is they can go to bankonwashingtonaltogether.org. And then at the top of that page, it says your community, and you can click on that and pick your community. And then let's say you are up in, let's say, like a gentleman from Linwood, he would be part of North Sound. Click North Sound, and it shows all the banks that participate, and it also shows what each one is.
Good place to start. Good place to
start.
That's a great place to start. Gina Stark, thanks very much. Director of Community and External Affairs for the State Treasurer, bankonwashington.org. If you don't have a computer, just go to a local library. Get logged on, and it might have some ideas for you. David Hyde produces The Conversation with Arwin Nix. We get production help from Cameron Drews, Joshua McNichols, and Andy Hurst is our engineer. From KUOW, I'm Ross Reynolds.
Thanks for listening. The program you just heard was made possible by the financial support of our listeners. Support this program and others like it by making a pledge today at KUOW.org.